Welcome to the Baseballer Show, guys. We're about to yap some ball for 30 minutes, giving you your baseball bliss. We're going to talk some good stuff today, guys. We have Devin Williams, hello. Edwin Diaz, goodbye. Dylan Cease to Canada, 7 years, 210. What are we thinking? And Anthony Rendon, he gone. We're talking about that today. But first, guys, make sure you follow us on Instagram. Please hit the follow button here on Spotify. We want to yap some more ball to you guys. How are we doing today, Mr. Murph?
I'm doing great. Full off a long Thanksgiving. I'm ready to yap some ball.
Let's do it. Let's do it, man. Baseballer blitz time. We're starting it out. Home run if you like it. Strikeout if you don't. Cease. Dylan Cease was overpaid. Home run or strikeout?
I'm going to say home run. I don't love the $200+ million contracts usually, but this is a huge move for the Blue Jays coming off almost a World Series, what should have been maybe a World Series, and they're bolstering that rotation even more. You got to make moves like this to compete in the AL East, so I love it for them. Now, AL East also, Helsley to the Orioles, home run or strikeout?
Foul out to the catcher. I think it's a good, I don't like following the rules, but I think it's a good move because, of course, adding Ryan Helsley to your team, that's a home run. So it's a home run in that aspect, but like the O's, like your offense is all right. You got Taylor Ward. That's nice. Your bullpen's solid-ish. You got Kittredge and now you got, and now you got Helsley, but you're missing the biggest part of the puzzle. All you have is two starting pitchers that are worth a damn right now. So I feel like they're attacking the right things, but if they don't end up getting a starting pitcher, this is a massive strikeout by me. The Mets made the right move with bringing in Devin Williams. Home run or strikeout?
I think home run. I think if you look at his ERA, it looks ugly, but if you look at his FIP, it says that he's still been the same guy with elite stuff. He's been that for his whole career. He's been one of the best relievers in the game for several years now. And I think it's a home run because I think this means that Edwin Diaz is gone. Of course, that's not the home run. He's elite, but I think he's looking for like a near $100 million contract. Not smart to give a mid-30s reliever. I think they got a good replacement. Now, lastly, this has been talked about a lot, swirling in the rumor mill. Trading Ketel Marte, would that be a home run or strikeout?
I think, and I'll say, like, if I'm the Diamondbacks and trading Ketel Marte, I think it's a home run. You should be able to get a King's ransom for this guy. I mean, he bops, guys. Over the last three seasons, we've just seen him be like legitimately the best hitting second baseman in baseball. And you have him on a super friendly contract. So with that being said, and especially with the state of the Diamondbacks right now, where just shit isn't going their way, this makes nothing but sense. And if you're a team trading for Ketel Marte, of course it's a strikeout, or excuse me, of course it's a home run, baby. You could get one of the best players in all of baseball. This guy has basically a 150 OPS plus every season playing second base. There is no one else like him in baseball. I would love that guy. So we're ripping it. Some big stuff over this last week. It's the off season, but it doesn't feel very off right now, Murph. There's a lot of things that are still cooking right now, dude. Mm-hmm. The big one to kind of start off first that isn't really about baseball. It's more about sports history. Maybe the worst contract in sports history. Anthony Rendon retiring. It looks like they're going to be working out a buyout of his last year of his contract. And this brings up the conversation. Is this the worst contract ever?
I mean, it's really hard to say that it's not. It may be recency bias, but you signed this guy for over $200 million, and it's hard to blame the Angels. He was coming off a year, 2019. It can't get much better. 7.3 war. Hitting a 7 war number is a huge deal. Led the league in doubles. Led the league in RBIs. Batted 319 with a 412 OBP. His OPS was at a 1.10. over a full season that he capped off with the World Series. That's a guy that you want leading your team. The problem is, not to rag on the guy, this has been talked about a lot. I just think he's not that leader. I don't think he loved baseball. And after he won that World Series, got his money, I think he kind of checked out. If you look at his production with the Angels, his total war was at 3.9.
Ugh.
And this is... the year before you signed him, he had a 7.3. Yeah. He only played 257 games, and his last 4 years were basically a negative. Yes. So, you know, it's basically no value added in this contract, just sunken money, didn't allow you to make any moves. And that's what the Angels are looking like right now. I think it's the worst one ever.
I mean, and you got to start thinking about like what it competes with. The other one that comes to mind is Steven Strasburg. But that obviously a little bit different. Both are definitely injury related. He signed his big contract similarly after that 2019 season. And let me look at the numbers of this contract, but it was a big deal here. I mean, and to see him immediately go, so it was a 7 year, 245, literally the same deal. Literally, actually Rendon was, no, I think it was seven. I think they were both 7 year, 245. So based the exact same deal, what the production that Strasburg got out of was his first season in 2020. So 2020, it is what it is, but 5 innings, 10.8 ERA. Then in 2021, 21 innings, 4.57. Then in 2022, 4 innings, 13.5 ERA. So, like, if you want to talk about production, obviously we saw Rendon having that production for those 5 years. I can't imagine that WAR. So it looks like over those three seasons for Strasburg, he accumulated a negative 0.5 WAR. Obviously, that was totally injury related. Not that mm-hmm. Rendon isn't either. I mean, I think a lot of times people really rag on him about the comments he's made. I want to be clear though on that in that interview where he says like baseball is not the most important thing to me. They were asking him about his family, so I do give him a little bit of grace because I think mm-hmm. it was very much taken out of context. But how can the numbers support his case? You know, it doesn't feel like he's been all in on playing baseball. So that's where I think there's more negative feelings that go to Rendon than go to Strasburg than when Strasburg's probably a worse contract.
Yeah. But like you said, I think it is a little different. I think that's another inherent risk that you take on with a pitcher. Like it's just the arm, whereas, you know, the hitters are everyday players and, you know, they can have a nagging injury, but you know, you expect them to play at least some of the 162 totally. Games. Totally. Yeah. Both are tough. This one just feels like it's a little bit tougher just because just feels like they got nothing for him. At least Strasburg won a World Series for the organization, yep. whereas the Angels just got nothing from him.
Totally. Totally. No, yeah. I completely agree with what you're
Another
saying.
Another one man. That comes to mind for me is Pablo Sandoval. Just a
oh, yeah.
bad experience in Boston. But that's like less than half the amount of totally. This contract, I think. The one that really hurts with this is the fact that it's a $245 million deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see that too, man. It's just, we've seen really bad contracts throughout sports, but part of it is inflation now that we're seeing the big numbers come along with that. Cause there are some big ones in the past, but it's hard to compare a 6 years, $106 million Homer Bailey to a 7 year, $245 million. Anthony Rendon. But I like what you said about where injuries of pitch with pitching, it kind of goes hand in hand with like injuries are going to be expected. Whereas Rendon and being an everyday player, like they're expected, but you expect them to produce more than 58 games played, which was the highest that Rendon did in any season with the Angels. So very, very interesting topic there. I do think it's definitely in that 1, 2, or 3 type of contract. We could say Bobby Bonilla, but Bobby Bonilla still gave the Mets production. It's just more funny being every July 1st, we get a day to Bobby Bonilla. But we are going to deep dive. Not only are we going to deep dive, Murph, we're actually going to double deep dive. We got two big topics because, again, it feels like we're diving. For all you YouTube watchers, we're diving deep. We're diving deep. But regardless, we got some big moves. It feels like it's the offseason, but it doesn't because so many things are happening. First, we're going to dive into Dylan Cease. 7 years, $210 million to the Toronto Bluebirds. And I've been hearing a lot of people, and as well, you said a home run or strikeout. Was that an overpay? Yes, you said home run was an overpay. I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I think, of course, 7 years, $210 million, a lot of million to be dishing out to a guy entering his 30-year-old season. But in terms of AAV, I don't think it's an overpay. I really don't. I think with a guy of his ability, that is what you're going to see happen. Yes, it's a high contract, but any pitcher like him is going to receive 30 or more million. We watched Corbin Burns last year receive 36, I believe, million dollars. So more than Dylan Cease. And Corbin Burns, yes, probably had a better year before, but you were seeing some regression for Mr. Corbin. So to give you an example, so Corbin Burns, his last season before getting that contract, so he had a 2.92 ERA, top five in Cy Young, definitely a dude for sure. But we were seeing that K per nine every year slightly fall down. So from 2021, we had a 12 K per nine, then he had a 10 K per nine, a 9 K per nine, and then last year 8. So we were seeing that regression of the swing and miss. He yep. still got $36 million, which I do. Obviously, hindsight 2020 doesn't look good with his Tommy, but you could see the regression happening. Dylan Cease, on the other hand, yes, he had a 4.55 ERA, but his FIP numbers are right along with what he's been doing his entire career, which means take out the luck in the bad fielding, which the Padres were one of the worst fielding teams in baseball this last year, to be honest. Manny Machado had a negative 6 outs above average. I just want to say that. Not exactly what you expect. But Dylan Cease, 11.5 K per nine last year. 11.5. This dude is still getting swing and miss at a high clip. This guy every year is starting games. We're talking last five seasons, 32 starts, 33 starts, 33 starts, 32 starts, 32 starts. This guy's going out there and striking people out.
Yeah, I think that is huge. What you just said at the end there, like starting 32 games each of the last five seasons, like that's what you want, because we just talked about how with pitching, you kind of have that inherent arm risk with, you know, especially how much stress these guys are putting on their arms nowadays. The best availability is, or the best ability is availability.
we get you, baby.
Yeah. And like,
you go get fooled, don't signing, get fooled again.
Yeah. If you're signing a guy to be your guy, you need him out there to be your guy. And I think you can count on Cease with that. I think that's huge value there. But like you said, I love K9. As a indicator for any pitcher, but especially starters. If you're trying to get a guy to be the top end horse of rotation, you need a guy that can get swing and miss. I think that plays a lot in the playoffs to have a dominant start. So like I said earlier, the Blue Jays just probably should have had a World Series. They should have had a World Series in some people's eyes, and they're making a move to capitalize on this window. It's not an overpay if they win within this window, which they totally can. It's just whenever you're paying a pitcher into his late 30s, I just think those last two years you can be paying a guy $60 million for nothing, but it's all worth it if they do something now.
Yeah, I completely agree. Of course, there is going to be a risk. Any long-term deal is going to be a big risk, like you're saying. But what would you rather have your team do? And I see that a lot from fans where mm-hmm. they're always very skeptical of their team spending money. What would you rather have them do? You know, pinch their pennies and you win the contest at the end of the year for spending the least amount of money? That's not how this works. Do you think Dodgers fans right now are really upset that they went over the luxury tax last year? You know, yeah. You know, so like that's where I'm on with this. I would rather have my team be aggressive and be attacking. And that's what the Blue Jays are doing here. And you got to commend them for it. Now I just got a question to ask you. What's their next move here? Do you think, I know that it sounds like they're in the Kyle Tucker sweepstakes, Bo Bichette sweepstakes. What do you think they end up doing with their next move here?
I think they definitely add a thumper to their lineup. I don't think that they'll be paying Bichette that number he's looking for, especially with the regressions he's having with his tools of speed and defense and whatnot. But I think they'll add to their lineup. I think they're going all in. And as a Red Sox fan, I'm not too pumped to see that. But yeah, I mean, it's been very interesting over the last few years because they've been in the running and trying to make aggressive pushes for basically every free agent. I think they were in on Soto. Yep. They were sneaky, super in on Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
Every big name guy they've been going for, but no one's wanted to go to Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, it's cold up there. I don't like the cold. But after the season that they just had, they have great Schneider, great manager, super underrated. They're a well-coached team with talent. I think now, after seeing a big time free agent sign a big time deal there, Vladdy signed for $500 million to stay there. I think you're going to see guys be like, all right, let's give Camden a shot.
No, that's an awesome take, man. I think it's going to be really interesting for this window here. It feels like a true championship window. And this is the team that's bouncing to be like, please, anybody, come here. We're here to win. Prior to this year, it felt like, yeah, they got money, but like, do I really want to go there? Now we're seeing a completely different animal, and they're coming out swinging.
The agents are going to take them more serious now.
100%. All right, and like I said, we got a double deep dive, baby. We got a double deep dive. So now we're going to dive into Devin Williams. Last night, signed a three-year, essentially turns out to be guaranteed $50 million to go to New York, not the Yankees. To the New York Mets. I think this is an interesting one here. I know we talked a little earlier on his FIP versus his ERA, but I think it's very valuable. Obviously, if you ask a Yankees fan what they think of Devin Williams, you're probably going to get a pretty bad take. You're probably going to get a pretty upset take. So obviously, me not being a Yankees fan, I didn't see that firsthand, but the numbers are the numbers. 4.79 ERA, not great. Negative 0.3 WAR. That's not what you want, of course. But let's look at some of the underlying numbers here. His FIP was still 2.68. His Ks per nine were 13.1. This dude is still inciting big swing and misses, and his stuff is still dirty. His stuff is still nasty. So where it really gets interesting, though, the thing is like, was the New York spotlight not good for him? That's the question I think of when I see this is obviously he struggled in New York with the Yankees. Now he's just going to the Mets. Do we see the same kind of thing? Do we not see the same kind of thing? Because he did regress, obviously, but the numbers are still the numbers with his underlying numbers, I should say, and his ability to create swing and miss.
Yeah, I mean, he's still the same pitcher that he's been in terms of dominance. His off-speed run value, which is his changeup, 94th percentile in a quote-unquote down year. So that's a guy I feel comfortable committing to for 3 years. I think this is a good contract for the Mets. I think 3 years and under is a good commitment to a dominant back-of-the-bullpen guy. It's probably going to be their closer. I think this, again, signals to Edwin Diaz not returning as a Met. But yeah, I think this is a great pivot. You're getting a guy that's, you know, one of the most respected relievers in the game, just history of success. So I really like this deal for the Mets.
Yeah, I like it too. I think where it gets really interesting is if you talk to Mets fans on what they would rather have. Would they rather have Edwin Diaz? Would they rather have Devin Williams? And if you compare the numbers, it looks like Edwin Diaz is the better closer.
Yeah. He's one of the best closers of all time. So if you're just talking talent, you're always going to say, of course, Edwin Diaz. But if you look at the money that you're saving and the subsequent moves you make with this, maybe, you know, you spend a little less on the closer here, still get a solid, you know, one of the best relievers in the league. But then you add at another area of need, then that paints a bigger picture. Totally. It all depends on what they do from here.
Of course it depends from there. But if we know Uncle Steve, he's going to want to spend that money. So I think they are far from done. I do agree with you where it really does feel like that's probably it for Edwin Diaz as a Met, because I just don't think you commit $50 million to an eighth inning guy. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I think the stuff is still amazing. If you look at his Baseball Savant page, it's just red everywhere. His whiff percentage, 99th percentile. So,
yeah,
guys, what would you rather have from a ninth inning closer? A guy who's inducing contact or guys who are not inducing contact? You tell me. I think that's a huge thing when it comes down to being a shutdown closer. He has all the makings to be it. It just some situational things have to kind of go better in his way and be less unlucky. But that is our double deep dive right there, baby. We are moving on to Tinder swipes. Again, they don't sponsor us. We sponsor them. Swipe right, swipe left. We do free agents right now because it's free agency, baby. We are swiping right if you want this deal. Swipe left if you would let him walk. This first one, Murph, I love this thought. I might even bring my take into it afterwards. Are you swiping right or left on a 3 years, $40 million deal for Luis Arias?
For me, I would swipe left on this one. Okay. I love Luis Arias, and I think the league has gone too much to the you know, just power nothing type of mindset. And I think it's really valuable to bring in a guy that can hit for a high average, put the ball in play, add some versatility to the lineup. We just saw the Blue Jays have a ton of success this year by putting the ball in play more, having long at-bats, spoiling pitches. And that's kind of what Luis Arraez is the best in the league at. He led the league in hits last year, but only yielded a 1.2 WAR. Whether you agree or not, there is greater value in a guy that can produce offensively with bigger hits. And Luis Arraez just doesn't seem to do that. He's been regressing. I don't know if I'd commit more than $10 million a year for 3 years to a guy that is on the downslope.
See, and that's where, and obviously this is supposed to be just yours, but I'm just going to say my take here because I think it's super interesting. It really depends on what team he goes to. If he goes to a team with a full lineup of production, I think you're taking that deal because, yes, he has a 1.1 WAR or 1.2 WAR, whatever it was. But I think there's a lot that isn't measured about Luis Arraez and his ability to get hits in spots. Yes, it might be only worth a single, but like how many opportunities in the playoffs, like you said, with the Toronto Blue Jays, like an Ernie Clement type of player. And obviously Ernie Clement, elite at third base. The only tool that Luis Arraez really brings to the table is his hit tool. That's it. That is it that he provides because he's bad defensively, not a good base runner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have him as leadoff hitter on a team that just produces or at the back end of the lineup where he's in the 8-9 hole and able to have a lot of runners in scoring position and knock in singles, I think that hit tool is super, super valuable.
Yep. And lastly, if you look at his Baseball Savant page, it's either super red or super blue.
Yep.
You know, and it's super red in four categories.
And it's like, and it's probably like, yeah, it's like with percentage. Yep. Like he does not strike out. He puts the ball in play. He doesn't do it hard. He doesn't swing hard. He is hoping to slap a single somewhere.
But he looks like the waters of Bora Bora otherwise. You know, I don't know if I'm committing 3 years more than $10 million a year to that guy.
I don't disagree. I just think it's a very interesting, like old head, new style type of thought process. Because then, dude, in 1990, he had signed for all of King Midas.
He's the MVP. Baby. He might be the GOAT.
All right.
All right. Now, switching gears a little bit to a guy who has a different play style, and you have some experience with him as a Cubs fan, Cody Bellinger, let's say a 6-year 162 projected contract. Would you swipe right or left on that?
6-year 162, I it's so interesting. It's so interesting for me. I'm... Ooh.
You just gave him away to the Yankees, basically.
Yeah, dude.
For Cody Poteet?
I'm swiping left. It was a salary dump. It was a salary dump. I'm backing my team. I'm swiping left. We don't want him. All right, but realistically, he's a good player. I just don't think he's great outside of Yankee Stadium. I think if you look at that short porch, you take that away in right field, it's a different style of player. So, yeah, would I take the deal from the Yankees? Yes, I would love that at the Yankees. But if it's not a homer-friendly park, I think Cody Bellinger in his last season in Chicago, really you could see like how much it affected him. I couldn't tell you how many times I saw a deep fly out to the track where he probably got another 10 home runs with that same swing when he was in New York. I mean, let's look at last year, what he would have done in other parks. So he had 29 home runs last year. So we're looking at some other parks. Let's say San Fran, he would have had 21. St. Louis, he had a 23. Washington, he would have had 21. And 20 home runs is nice, but I think it's really dependent on the park of what he does. So you're talking subtracting 7-8 home runs away from this guy, just on the park that he plays in. I think the versatility he brings is awesome. He can play all outfield positions, can play first base, and well, can play it well. He's a good outfielder. 20 home runs probably with his age. I just think some of those skills are going to regress a little bit, but he's going to be at least a league average hitter or better with 20 something home runs playing all sorts of outfield positions. I think that's valuable, but is it 20 to 30 million valuable? That's where I'm in between. If it's 6 years, 162, I think it's valuable, but I don't like long-term Cody Bellinger. I just feel like he's been so wishy-washy throughout his career. One great year, one bad year, one great year, one bad year. He's on pace for another probably iffy year. And that's just kind of been the trend of Cody Bellinger. So that's where I'd swipe left. But yeah.
And hey, one more thing to back up your point. You know, a guy's always going to be better at home than he is away, but this split's pretty significant. Away, his OPS was a 715 versus at home, he was a 909. So completely different player.
Yeah. Take that porch away. I think he's a different player and you look at him a little differently. Mm-hmm. Cause I remember he had three home runs against the Cubs. I don't want to keep referencing Cubs, but he had a three home run game and all three of them would have been flyouts literally anywhere else. Just like a row into the short porch and right field, just like a fly ball. So that's where it gets interesting. I do think he's a good player, but like, I just think that's long-term is scary. All right. I'll ask you here. Edwin Diaz, 4 years, $80 million, swiping right, swiping left.
Well, I actually thought Diaz was a little bit older. I thought he was approaching 33, but he's entering his age 32 season. So a 4 year, 5 year deal brings him into not too late of 30s. I think for 4 years, $80 million, I would swipe right on that. It's where we get into the 5 year, more than $20 million AAV where I get scared. You know, it's really hard to find a reliever that sustains their success late into their 30s. Chapman, I feel really good about that contract now.
Yeah.
Seeing what Devin Williams just got. And seeing what Edwin Diaz is going to get. So I feel super happy that we got him and extended him last season. But Edwin Diaz, I think 4 years, $80 million would be a good get for a contender. I'm just not sure that he'll succumb to the four-year deal. I think he's going to wait for that five-year deal. And I think that's why the Mets went a different direction.
Nah, dude, that dude is nasty. Some of the stats he put up last year, just disgusting. 13.3 K per nine, 1.63 ERA, a 2.28 whip, a 0.874 whip.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Just a absolute dude right there. I mean, I like that too. I'd probably swipe right in that same situation. What a guy. We got some more trade rumors swirling around here. We got Ketel Marte. It sounds like the phone is ringing off the hook for those Diamondbacks and they're trying to get rid of him. And I get it. Again, on the swipes, I said, that's a home run. It looks like the Boston Red Sox, Tigers, and Tampa Bay Rays who have plenty of pitching are all on the radar for Mr. Marte. That's an interesting one, Murph. What do you think here?
I mean, the best second baseman in the league. So if you can acquire the best at their position, then that's a win. I think the Diamondbacks are in a really weird spot. They're only a couple years off from appearing in the World Series. They just signed Corbin Burnes last year to a big deal, which was an indicator of a, you know, buy, pursue, winning type of move. But he's getting Tommy John. Ketel Marte's 32 now, so you can sell high on him before his value might start to diminish. Which is something to consider for a team that's going to get him. You know, if he's entering into his mid-30s, maybe you see those numbers go down. But, I mean, 145 OPS plus last year. How many guys in the league are doing that? The year before, 154. So he's giving you pop. He's giving you a pretty solid defense at second. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. He can walk. Doesn't strike out too much. He's a guy that's a huge difference maker in any lineup you put him in. If I'm the Red Sox, I like that. I think it's going to be a team that has a lot to give up in prospect capital or young talent. The Red Sox have that, and I think there are a couple other teams in play, but whoever gets them is going to be getting a good player.
And on top of that, Murph, his remaining deal right now is 6 years, $102 million. That's $17.5 million a year for the best hitting second baseman by a long shot. So you're looking at super affordable on top of what he brings to the table. So in terms of what you're going to get in return, not only are you asking prices high because of the player, but now that contract in itself is just like a holy shit. If we can pull this off.
Think about if he were on the free agent market right now, what would he be getting?
Oh yeah. If Bo Bichette's going to be making a lot of money, like that guy would make more. That guy would make more. So because I mean, he's into his 32-year-old season, not old. The only question with him for me really is like sustained health. The last two seasons, he's had like this lingering like hamstring issue that keeps on coming back, and it's limited to 136 games in 24, 126 in 25. So that's the only thing where it's like, as he gets older, that could be a little concerning. But dude, mm-hmm. like the bat is the bat. The last three seasons, 28, 36, and 25 home runs. Not striking out at a high clip, right around 100 strikeouts. Like, the dude is just a professional hitter, and you gotta love a guy like that. Like, a lot, any team looking for a second baseman, which how many of them are? A ton, a ton. You would love to get a guy like this.
Yep, I agree. That contract's juicy. I think that's going to factor in a lot to the trade value. But yeah, I'm super interested to see where he goes. I think it's very, very, very unlikely that he remains a Diamondback. I think there's just too much noise with it right now. It makes too much sense to kind of do a little quick reset while Corbin Burnes is injured. He's getting older. So I think all signs point to him being traded. Just depends who to.
100%. But that's all we got for you today, guys. We gave you your 30 minutes of baseball bliss. We can't appreciate you guys enough. Our Baseballer Show fam out there, you guys are the best. Make sure you guys are following us on Instagram, following us here on Spotify, so you can listen to us yap every Wednesday afternoon. Thanks Hello. Again, guys. Hopefully next week, we got some more cool stuff for you. Until then, peace.
Peace.